few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemitz,
David Lauer.
And this is the show where we talk about our loves and our hates and things we're indifferent about. But before we do any of that, there's the segment where we talk about old topics called Deja Fuse. And I will go. Last episode to us. Wait. One of the episodes where Scott was like, oh, I hold on to birthday cards, and if you don't, you must be a soulless piece of shit. Like that. He just really hated that. But
oh, man. He was so ragging on everybody who didn't keep their birthday cards.
But I do have cards. They're just tucked away in boxes and stuff. Like, I don't have a box full of them like you did, Dave. They're just tucked away in notebooks and shit. Like, just, I have boxes of stuff that I barely look at, but there's cards in there. So I am not a monster. And a lot of them are the handwritten ones, which is what I appreciate.
Yeah. I'm a monster. I don't have any of them.
I have some, but I'm only going to see them in like 6 years from now when I move or something, you know? They're just in a box somewhere. Couldn't tell you where it's at. But like, they're like wedding cards. I don't know. Like, nothing's like really handwritten. Like, it's always just like a card with like two sentences afterwards. Which, I mean, if it's more than two sentences, then maybe keep it. But if it's less, just throw it away.
So you're like almost like a werewolf. You're sometimes a monster, like John.
I'm aspiring to be a monster.
Slowly
just
turning.
Haven't made the leap.
My friend and I in grade school gave each other the same card back and forth every year. And with like no words handwritten at all. Like there was some kind of bird on it on the front. I don't remember, like not a pelican, parrot, or I don't remember exactly, but toucan, you know,
yeah,
one of those.
Sure.
One of those birds. And our birthdays were about 6 months apart, so it worked out perfectly that, you know, we each got to keep the card half the year.
So have I ever met this person? He sounds like a great sense of
humor. It was Tim.
Oh,
Riley.
Shit. Yeah. That's awesome. That's a great little.
Wait, so was this like a big game of chicken just to see who threw out the card first?
Yeah, good question where that thing ended up.
Oh man.
I don't know who was chicken.
You know, that just made me realize that, you know, you said there was like a bird on it or whatever. I wish there was like an inventory or something, a history, a book of all cards ever made. That'd be interesting because there's some funny ones out there, you know. Yeah. That'd be great to find that particular card, John. Go snooping.
That'd be a big book.
Yes. Real big book. All right. Well, you know what? I started last time. I know that for sure. So what do you guys got to start this thing off? Anyone have a passion?
I can start. I love learning about and learning foreign languages. I'm not great at it or anything, and I'm certainly not fluent or anything, but I really enjoy, like, just when you like how like grammar can be completely different in different languages and all the different quirks and stuff, and like all the stuff like that we deal with in English. And there's just like other ways to do it and it works fine. And then you're like, well, why do we do it this way? And then like the stupid stuff that other languages do that we don't have to worry about, which is really nice. I enjoy like traveling and like getting to try to speak it, even though I've never been that great at it, but you know, people always appreciate the effort and that kind of thing. And yeah, I think it's super interesting. It makes you like think about your own language differently and like notice things about words and stuff that you probably wouldn't otherwise think about. And Like one thing I do is like I have the Duolingo app on my phone, and so like when in the past I would have been sitting like scrolling through Reddit or something, now I'll just be like learning a language or something instead with that time, which seems more constructive.
I haven't traveled a lot, so I haven't, nor do I want to. So I don't really know a lot about other languages and stuff. Ignorant, John.
Oh man, what did you take in high school?
English.
German or Spanish?
I didn't have to take either of those because I'm pretty sure they're
What?
like, yeah. They're like, listen, he's already learning English.
Cut him some slack.
For pity's sake.
For real? I thought everybody had to take one of them.
Oh,
How'd
maybe
you
they.
slip through the cracks?
I don't know. Dave, what did you take? Do you know anything?
I took Spanish. Our teacher was not like super strict, or like half the time she would just play the movie, what was it, Babe, with a little pig, but it was like the Spanish version.
Oh man.
So where all the animals are just talking in Spanish, and all the subtitles are in Spanish. So like I didn't
How do you say
understand
Bob
anything.
Ram you in Spanish?
Well, that was kind of the funny part because some of it was just like, okay, is this translation like real? I don't know. It just didn't make sense. I like our Spanish teacher was pretty entertaining because she always said that she used to babysit Ricky Martin, the singer, and because she was from Puerto Rico, and I guess Ricky Martin was from there. And then she also said that she babysat Shaquille O'Neal. Famous basketball player. So I don't
Wow.
know that I necessarily believed her, but
Babysitter to the stars. Wow.
I guess. I don't know. But I went to what was it, 2 years ago, I went to Mexico, to Puerto Vallarta, to a resort. And my wife and I, we kind of just stayed at a resort, hung out at the beach, and then we'd take like a taxi ride into town and kind of go to some restaurants. So we were there for like 5 or 6 days. It was so much fun to me. Like, I totally get what you're talking about with the languages thing. It's like a very small scale, but just trying, like, learning little phrases and being able to say them to someone who speaks a different language and for them to understand you, just like just the little small things. Because I'm at a like a resort, and just like ordering my food or taking a taxi ride is really like, or like buying something. Just being able to say like a few sentences, or not even sentences, few words. I do recall I got into a taxi and the guy asked me a question because he just assumed that we spoke English. So he asked me a question in English and then I responded in Spanish. And then he started laughing and then just started to talk in Spanish to me as if I could understand him. And I was just like, oh, tap the brakes. That's the only phrase I know. Because he asked me something and I said like muy poquito, which means like very small, and he's apparently just thought I knew Spanish from that, and I was like, oh no, that's all I can say.
That's
But
great.
it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And then I remember like once I got back from the vacation, I wanted to say those things. Like I'm going through the drive-thru like ordering some food and I'm like muy bien, gracias, si, de nada. Just saying those phrases like that, and I'm just like, oh, I miss
Yeah,
it.
I've gotten like in trouble for that, just like me being dumb. Like one time I was at like a Mexican restaurant in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I like ordered in Spanish, and like my buddy's like, I think she's Vietnamese, like the waitress. Okay,
Oh my gosh.
yeah, all right, maybe I should just not try and do that.
You know, people have used Spanish with me. Always got to break their hearts.
I just had my coworker today. She was telling me she's Mexican, but sometimes people will tell her like, "No, you're Native American." And she's like, "No, I'm not Native American. I'm Mexican." And they're like, "No, you're Native American." And she's like, "No."
That is so weird to like to try and tell someone else what they are, and yet not at all surprising. I had one kind of funny thing that came out of knowing a bit of Spanish. So I took Spanish in high school, and then I worked on a dairy farm during college with like some Mexican people worked there. So like I kind of knew a little bit of Spanish, and they knew a little bit of English, and like we kind of knew what words each other knew and could converse that way. So I kind of got a little better at it then. And then this last summer, we were getting our siding replaced on our house, and the guys doing the actual work spoke Spanish. And one tidbit I picked up on was that the project manager and one of the like the other bosses' name was Gary. Like both of them were named Gary, and they called him Gary Guapo and Gary Feo, which means like ugly Gary and handsome Gary.
Oh.
I'm like, do they know they call him that? Like, they don't know what it means.
Yeah, ugly Gary is going to be very hurt.
Oh,
Holy moly. I also, just speaking of languages, I have to go with my own, the Ho-Chunk language, because I am occasionally thrown some language from family, friends sometimes, just because, like, hey, do you remember how to fucking say this or that, so it's one of those things. Like, my mom just said, fuck, I don't remember what it is anymore, but she basically asked what time it was, and I when I hear that, I know it's a question because it's jagu, that means what, but I'm like, she either asked what my name is, but
getting
I got
senile, Mom.
oh dear. Oh, mom. Oh, okay. But you mentioned there's languages that they have to do stuff that we don't have to. Could you go into that?
Sure, yeah. So like like a lot of the European languages like German and like even Spanish, like having like every word is a gender. So like we say the for everything, like the book, the desk, the whatever. Like other languages have like two, three, four, like or more like different words for the. So like depending on if you're talking about one thing or multiple things or male things or female things. And so like you have to use a different version of the for each of them. But then like Russia or Russian doesn't have a word for the at all. So you just say like give me book. And like so there's no a, there's no the, there's no an, and like it's like oh yeah, you actually don't need that at all, and it adds like no value. But no. But then like other languages make you learn like eight versions of it.
I have a very dark joke about Russia and saying, give me something, but no, if I'll do it. That's interesting, though. That's cool.
And like that, the whole gendered thing, like I read something about it. It makes people think of those items different ways then. Like I don't remember the specifics, but like there was something about like one language had like the word bridge was a male, and the other one it was like feminine. And like the one country, the male one, like, oh yeah, bridges are strong and sturdy and this. And the other one, like, bridges are elegant and beautiful. Like they just think of these objects like having the stereotypical gender roles assigned to it. And it's like really bizarre. And like
I mean,
I'm a strong believer that like your language does like affect how you think of things. Like the whole 1984 thing, like trying to reduce the language so people don't aren't able to like form the thoughts of rebellion and all that stuff. Like that's obviously an extreme example, but I do think that the way your language works changes how you think of things. Or even like programming languages too. They I think they stimulate the same part of your brain as like speaking, like, spoken languages. And I know, like, programming, if I'm using one language, I'll probably use completely different logic to solve a problem than if I'm using a different language, just because of like how you usually like assemble code and stuff. It makes you think about problems very differently.
Wow. Do you okay? Let me just corner you with this question, John. Do you find my language to be foreign or domestic as it gets?
What do you mean?
I don't know. It was just a dumb question. No, my language, Ho-Chunk language. Would you
Oh,
consider that foreign to you or as domestic as it gets?
yeah. I see. I mean, it's f definitely foreign to me. But yet very domestic. It's a paradox.
That was
Do you
great.
ever have interest in learning more of it, or like becoming better versed in it?
For sure. The older I get, the more interest I have. And I have books, and there's great strides, like from the Ho-Chunk Nation. They're trying to put out websites and just make it more available and stuff, because it is a dying language in a way.
Yeah,
But
and that's like a weird thing in the world too, because like it's so convenient that like English is just used everywhere and that people can communicate with each other. And it's like, oh yeah, wouldn't it be nice if just everyone spoke the same language and could communicate? But then you just lose so much ways of thinking and ways of relating to things and like stories that don't translate, or just even like words that don't translate play very well. And it would be a huge loss if we actually did get rid of all the languages.
yeah, I mean, but let's mix it up. This is what I want. I had this idea for a while. I just wanted to teach you guys a little word of the day, Ho-Chunk Day. How to say what in Ho-Chunk is jagu, JAGU. So,
Jagu.
yeah, and you're like, what? Jagu, what?
Jagu.
Yeah, so how could you use that in a sentence?
Jagu, time is it thin?
Oh my gosh.
I
7:38. Dave, how can you use that in a sentence?
Jagu sounds like the name of a Star Wars character.
That's a statement. But that's fine. I never said it had to be a question, but or did I?
That's like, can you use it in a sentence? Okay,
Yeah, I was just using
jagu
it in a
is an
sentence.
interesting word.
That's funny. All right, moving on. Who wants to go next? I can if I must, and I will.
Okay, I'll
My
twist your arm.
love, and this is going to be a quick one, I think. I love self-checkout cash registers, baby. Like, there's nothing nicer than. I am a bit antisocial. I try not to be, but it's those little interactions where I'm like, oh God, I'm buying toilet paper. I am human after all. I shit. All right, I shit. But maybe it's a cute little cash register girl, and you don't want her to know that you shit, even though she shits. Or
No,
it's a
you don't
no,
want her
she does
seeing what stuff
not.
you're getting, the cheap stuff, you know?
They see that maybe sometimes that's the case too. You know,
Gotcha, yeah.
maybe, yeah, I'm ashamed of a certain product or band or brand, you know. But even if it's someone who I don't care what they look like, but it's still like, we gotta, oh, how's it going today? Like, it's just like, oh please, I'm just here to buy my toilet paper, you know. So and then the self-checkout, I bring it up because I liked it, but then there's people who are like, Oh, I don't fucking work here. Why do I gotta do that? And then there's people who are like, well, it's just remixes of saying, why do I gotta do it? I don't work here. But I don't care. Again, to avoid that interaction. And it's not even that hard. You just scan it. Like anyone could do it. The only reason why this was almost an indifference is because I know people like Dave over here that worked
Dave.
cash registers, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it got you through some hard times, good times, you know, it was there for you. But now, not anymore. There's hardly any fucking workers, you know?
Yeah. So like now they've all like transitioned to just like packing like bags full of groceries for all the Walmart pickup orders. You know, the people who
Right.
used to be doing the cash registers. I love like self-checkouts. Like they're not perfect, but anytime it's like Christmas and I'm like out shopping at different stores that I normally wouldn't go to, like if I'm at TJ Maxx, TJ Maxx does not have self-checkout. You have to stand there in line and there's like six people in front of you and the cashier is taking their sweet ass time. They're asking if you want to sign up for a credit card or a magazine subscription or who the hell knows what. And it's taking forever. And I'm like, I could have just scanned my stuff, stuck my credit card in, and be out the door by now. But instead I'm waiting around. And you know, whether it's TJ Maxx or even if it's just going to Walmart and getting groceries, I always try to get to one of the self-checkout ones because I'm like, it's not even about the social interaction. Like I can get over that. It's just like the quick, like get through the line as fast as possible and get out of Walmart because it's not a pleasant experience being in there because there's so many people, there's so many shopping carts, the aisles are like too small, you can't move around barely. And it's like you go there for like 10 things and it's been 45 minutes and I just want to get the hell out of there. Like the self-checkouts have made it a lot better to get in and out of there faster.
I agree with all of this. And I was just thinking about like the worst situation is when there's no self-checkouts and then you have to like pick a line that you think is the fastest and you're always wrong, or at least I'm always wrong.
Oh yeah.
Like the only way to like do that is like I'm so happy when it's just like one long line and then like there's who's ever the next checkout available, they call the next person in line. Like that just seems like the most fair way to do it. I remember like years ago, like even before like mobile check deposits, which mobile check deposits, do you guys do that? Like if you get a if someone writes you a check, you can cash it using your phone.
Yeah, that's the only way I do it.
Yeah, so that's like amazing. But even before that, I was so happy when I learned you could cash a check using an ATM. Because like the worst was, I don't know if it was just like the Wells Fargo banks around here, but the tellers were always so like, "Oh, so what are you doing this weekend?" I'm like, "I don't know, whatever." Like, "Oh, that's so cool." I'm like, "No, it's not." they were clearly all trained to just be like very social, very interested in what you have to say, and like I did not like that at all.
I always have that when I go to get a haircut, and they're like, "So what are you doing today?" I'm like, "Getting a haircut. Like that's what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
When I'm done with this, I'm gonna go home."
Well, I mean, hey, look, I got, well, you can't see, I got it tied back, but my hair is very long because I hate that aspect of haircutting, the interaction, the poor excuses of like, oh, I'm just fiddling with your hair. No, you're checking for lice and I know it, you know? I don't know. I just feel bad for the Daves out there in the world who, you know, Dave, if you were 20 something again, you know, that job isn't there for you right now. You know what I mean? Don't you feel bad?
No, that job is horrible. Being a cashier sucked. And if nobody else has to do it, that makes me happy because it sucks. Like, Oh, it's the worst because when you're there and you're say you're like bagging groceries, you get these old ladies in there and they want you to bag everything the exact right way. You can't put a carton of eggs and a loaf of bread in the same thing. It's like, well, this is a delicate bag. You got to be careful with the bag. They're like, no, got to keep the bread separate. I'm like, you're just gonna put it on top of the eggs anyways once it's in your cart. But they're like giving you all these instructions on how to do every little thing. And it's like, ma'am, I do this for a living. I'm pretty damn good at it. Why don't you just trust the expert over here? All right. And they're like, will you double bag that for me? I'm like, it's a gallon of milk. It has a handle. You don't even need a bag. All right. There you go.
But the
What
milk is
about
cold. All right.
what about self-ordering at like fast food and restaurants and stuff? So like you have the touch screen, you
Oh,
put in your order.
I haven't really done it at restaurants except for like once at Chili's. But like I always do, like if I go to McDonald's, I use the McDonald's app on my phone and I order ahead and you get earned points and you get discounts and like cheap deals on certain things. You can get like buy one, get one. I think that's awesome. I really like to do that because then I can just go through the drive-through line and just be like, yep, yeah, this is my code. Tell them that, and it like that app already has my credit card on there, so then I can just take my receipt, get my food. It's convenient.
Well, yeah, just the I just don't want to admit that those little interactions I could do without. I feel bad for saying it for some reason, but that's the way she goes, boys. Should we move on to Dave? Are you next?
Sure. Are we all doing loves right away?
Well, sure. Let's start it off
Okay.
with all
I mean,
love.
follow your heart. All right.
Oh, your nose like toucan.
I love the Royal Rumble. The like 2 or 3 days ago, like it was Saturday night, there was the WWE Royal Rumble. And I used to be a big wrestling fan, like back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, when like Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock were around. When I was like a teenager, it was like the coolest thing ever to watch that. And that's when I first got into wrestling. But over the years, I've kind of grown out of it. And I've kind of, when they first came out with the WWE Network and they had all the stuff put online, like I went through like a year or two of just watching it nonstop again. But then I kind of fell out of love with it again and stopped watching it. But I've gotten in the habit, and I don't watch wrestling anymore. But every year I will watch the Royal Rumble because I love the Royal Rumble. And it's perfect for like a casual fan like me who knows a little bit about wrestling, but I don't know everything because I
So,
can tune in. Yeah.
yeah, for the listener, can you just tell me what is the Royal Rumble?
Okay, yes, that's exactly what I was going to get to
Oh,
next.
sorry.
Is
All right.
the best part about it is there's 30 people in the Royal Rumble. And there's 30 like random superstars, and they have a men's Royal Rumble and a women's Royal Rumble now. There's 30 superstars, and every 90 seconds, another superstar comes to the ring, and you're only eliminated if you get thrown over the top rope and both of your feet hit the ground. It's great that there's 30 people in there, and there's 90 seconds between people coming in. Because then, like, you get 30 people. So that way, for me as a casual viewer, I get to see like all these different wrestlers come out. And I know like some of them, I've seen them before. And some of them, I'm like, oh, I have no idea who this person is. But I'm like getting like a quick introduction where I'm like, oh, okay, this guy looks pretty cool. And you get to see him wrestle a little bit and somebody, and there's always like good spots for like comedy. And like people doing funny stuff and working together. And do you have any other questions about how it works? I'm not sure if I described it that well.
So since they're staggered in how they enter, how many are like the most who are in the ring at the same time?
It can be unlimited. So obviously wrestling's scripted. So usually it won't get over like 8 or 9 people in the ring at once.
Okay.
And then, once they get, that's kind of like a happy medium because you don't want too many people in the ring because then it just becomes chaos. So usually it's between like in the middle of it when there's a lot of people, it's between like 8 or 9 people. But then once you get towards the end, it starts whittling down and then you get 5 people left and then 4 people. And once everybody's made their entrance, then you're like, all right, the amount of people in there is it, the people left. And so it's a huge advantage to be the 30th person to come out because it means, the guy who came out first, he's been in the ring for possibly like an hour, more than an hour, and you're fresh and you just came out to the ring and you got a great advantage. So I really love the Royal Rumble just because it's such a fun concept and it's really cool. And one of the reasons I think it is a love for me is, or I at least one of the reasons I can tell that it's a love is because there's literally a million things wrong with this type of match. Like, there's so many bad parts about it, but I still love it regardless of all of its flaws because there's tons of flaws. Usually it's kind of too long of a match. It can kind of get a little boring. There isn't like 30 really interesting superstars. There's probably only like 15. So like half of the people who come out, you're like, this guy has no chance at winning the thing. Oh, because the winner of it, they win a chance at the title at WrestleMania, the biggest pay-per-view of the year. So there's lots of people who don't even like really deserve to be in the Royal Rumble. I don't know. It's kind of sloppy a lot of times. People can't even like work themselves over the top rope and they need help being pushed out. And like, it's, I don't know. A lot of it's really sloppy and weird, but I still love it regardless.
John, are you coming in this as a hardcore, like I'm from the Attitude Era fan?
I got different allegiances. That's the problem. No, I'm definitely coming in as a professional wrestling agnostic, where I was never into it really as a kid at all, and not since then either. So I know nothing about it. I've definitely heard the term Royal Rumble, and kind of guessed it was something like you described, but it's good to hear the details. I can see how it would be a fun event, and I actually am thinking about checking it out just for like the spectacle and like just like watching this one thing. You kind of get to know like, okay, well, here's like the year wrapped up in a way, maybe.
Yeah, I'm coming into this being a fan when I was a kid, like in the 80s, and then Dave, you were responsible of getting me back into it in, I want to say like 2014, something like that, because I was like, oh, Brock Lesnar, and you're like, oh, he's headlining WrestleMania, so I'm like, oh shit. So we actually watched the 2014 Royal Rumble. I rewatched that today, and it's pretty sweet. I will say though, the out of the flaws is there's a lot of punching, and punching has always been the least sellable aspect of the matches, right? Yeah,
Yeah, for
so
sure.
yeah, so you got to deal with a lot of that.
A lot of
But
fake punches. Yeah.
kicks.
Is it just kind of stuff you can do with limited space in the ring? Because there's like eight other dudes in there.
Well, that's kind of part of the problem with it is two guys will be fighting, but they like all kind of take turns. So like there'll be eight people in the ring, two are fighting, but then the other two are like just standing in the corner, like pushing on each other's necks or heads or arms. And then two people are like laying over in the corner, acting like they're hurt. Somebody else is like, laying on the other corner. And they're all just like trying to clear space for the two guys who are like actually doing moves and having a moment in the match. Like everybody else is like trying to like just get out of the way so they have room to do some moves. It's always kind of awkward and makes it look kind of silly.
But I want to include that what makes it hit a little bit more is the fact you have to go over that top rope. And that's a big fall because you're not falling on the ring, you're falling on the floor. So that's always interesting to watch. The other, and then there's people that play around with it. Like you'll have a lot of cool saves, like they're almost get thrown off, but then they just happen to grab some other wrestler in time and they're in this compromised position, but it's cool. Covington is it, or not Covington, Kingston, that guy.
Yeah, Kofi Kingston. Yep.
Yeah, isn't he always saves himself in this weird way where it's like, oh, technically he didn't his feet didn't touch the ground because he's on his hands, so he's like walking on his hands and shit. That's always good.
Yeah, that was this year he was in the match, and then some guy takes him, throws him over the top rope, and he just hits the ground. And everyone was just like looking around. They're like, what the heck? Like, Kofi Kingston always like lands on his hands, does a handstand. Or like his feet will touch the railing, but not the floor, or the stairs, or the steps, or something. But this year he just got eliminated, and everyone was just disappointed. They're like, "What the heck? Like he didn't have
Whoa.
a cool thing to do this time."
Yeah. Wow, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but it was still a fun match. One thing I really didn't like about this year's match was the advertisement. And they're probably doing this for everything, but like the entire like side of the ring that would usually have like a WWE logo, it now just said Cricket Wireless. And then the ring posts on all the four ring posts, it said Cricket Wireless. And then on the countdown meter on the screen where it would go like 10, 9, 8, it was brought to you by C4 Energy Drinks. So it would go 6, 5, and then when it would say 4, it'd be a C4 logo, and then it would go 3, 2, 1. There was so much advertising on my screen. I was just like, what the heck is happening? This is
So,
not what it looked like in the year 2000.
well, that's what happens when you get rid of Vince McMahon finally, right?
Well, they gotta pay all his lawyers. That's why they're
Oh my
getting
gosh.
all these advertisers.
Oh, I wanted to mention just they'll bring back old wrestlers sometimes, like people you haven't seen forever, like the one I watched, Kevin Nash came out. That was
Yeah.
awesome. Yeah, because everyone was like, "Oh my God, we haven't seen him forever," and he's like lumbering there. He's clear. He hasn't wrestled in a long time. And Batista came. This was after Guardians came out, and people were booing him. That was weird.
Yeah, Batista, for I don't even know why, but like right after he retired that last time, a lot of people didn't like him. I think it was more to do with the creative and the writing around him. They kind of stuck it to him and made him look bad. Because Batista was like a big, strong, powerful guy, but then he would always have like Triple H, his best friend, help him out. So it was like, even though he's big and strong, he would still like be a slime ball and have somebody else who would have his back. So yeah, he did not get a good reception, especially yeah, right after Guardians of the Galaxy, because that movie was so huge and it was awesome. Like now everybody looks at Batista and they're like, yes, he's awesome, and they look back fondly, but in the moment people didn't like him.
One
Oh man,
thing
he was
that
so good in Knock at the Cabin. You ever see that one?
Oh, I really wanted to see that. Still have to see that. It looks good.
is this sarcasm?
No,
Sarcastic?
I
Oh
legit thought he
no,
was good.
it
Yeah, and I actually really like that movie, even though, obviously M. Night has his ups and downs, but I thought that one wasn't up, and Batista is
looks.
just like make him look as like huge and like imposing as possible, but then, have him be like as soft spoken as possible as well. Like it's just such a great contrast, and like his character is amazing in that.
Shit. Before it's all said and done, though, I have to mention this is the coolest part about Royal Rumble. So, like, 30 people, whatever, over the ropes, you're out. Mick Foley has three different characters, and all three different characters came throughout the match. That was so funny.
That was one of the greatest moments ever. That was like in the year like 98 or 99. Yeah, because he came out as Mankind with like a white shirt and a tie. And then he got eliminated and he came out as Cactus Jack, the hardcore legend, who's wearing like a black shirt. And then he gets eliminated and then he comes out as Dude Love, who's like a hippie character. And it's all him just playing different characters that he's played over his years in wrestling, because he had been a wrestler, for 15 years or something at that point. And he's just using every old gimmick that he used to have. It was great.
Terrific. Should we go on? Who's up?
Yes, the
Is it?
timer has hit zero.
Oh my gosh. Well, then fire off someone's intro music. Who's going up?
I can go again. We want a heavier topic or a lighter topic?
Oh shit. Oh, I forgot. Oh, it's up to you, man.
All right, I'll go heavier in the middle and then we can lighten it up at
You
the end.
bastard.
So I'll say I'm indifferent to alcoholic beverages. I kind of like if someone snapped their fingers and there was no alcohol in the world anymore, like it wouldn't really bother me. Like I don't hate it, even though I would probably wager it's done more harm than good for society and everything. I myself maybe like drink one beer a week or something usually, and I do really enjoy the taste of beer, and I enjoy like trying new ones and like some like mixed drinks I really like and enjoy. But I don't particularly enjoy being drunk, like how that feels. A certain, especially when it gets past a certain point. Though I will admit I've had some very fun nights of my life where that was the case. And like for me it's like definitely just a social thing to do as well. Like during like 2020 and 2021, like during the peak COVID times, like I didn't really drink anything at all just because like it wasn't a thing that I do when I'm sitting at home by myself, or like my wife isn't a drinker really either. So other than like had some like Zoom calls with old coworkers and stuff, and we'd have like a virtual happy hour, and then I'd have a couple beers or something. But yeah,
Tear
I
up the house.
oh yeah just wreck the place. I definitely find it super annoying when like people who like drinking is their personality and like the only jokes they make are like about like, oh, I should have a drink in my hand right now and that kind of stuff. But then it also annoys me if someone's like super the opposite direction and like just very like what do they call it, teetotaling or whatever. And like I definitely don't think that like banning it or like prohibition is something that works or should be done or was a good idea ever. And I think that for a lot beyond just alcohol as well, that that's definitely not the right way to go around about things. But yeah, so that's probably more negative than indifferent, but I wouldn't say I hate it for sure.
What about you, Dave? You got a beer right now?
Like no, I have a bottle of water.
Pure vodka.
like I really like alcohol a lot, but I have not had an alcoholic drink in since like September. So it's been 4 months. Like I'm at an age, I'm 37. So like in my 20s and like early 30s, I used to drink a lot and I loved it. And I don't do it as much, but I still like have lots of fond memories of it. And when I even like, because like Vince, like we used to hang out back in like our early 20s and like go to the bar, go to house parties, have so much fun. And you know, and we're in Wisconsin, which is a huge drinking state. It was tons of fun. And like now, like as I'm older, like when I do drink, it just doesn't hit the same anymore. And it's just like, you know, it's like the idea of it is great, but then in reality, I'm like, oh man, now I'm like, I feel lightheaded and I got a headache and I'm tired and I'm gonna go to bed. And it's not quite the same anymore. It's just not as fun anymore.
You mentioned that, I mean, we could go a little bit personal, or we don't have to, but you mentioned because your wife just doesn't, you have been like, well, maybe I don't have to either. And you, yeah, we talked about that a little bit.
My wife is like, John's not a big drinker at all, so like, so because I'm like, okay, well, like if you're not gonna have anything to drink, I'm not gonna have anything to drink. And that's probably a good thing because, you know, a lot of people, it's, you know, it's an addictive thing, so you know, it's good that I'm not drinking all the time like I used to, because like in our 20s, like drink so much. If I would continue that same amount of drinking my entire life, it would, you know, it would probably do a very large toll on me. So it's good to mellow out as we get older. But like even though I've mellowed out, I still miss it. I still have very fond memories of it. And you know, I'll go to Rockfest every summer and I will drink like a fish for 3 days. But that's kind of the only time of the year I do it is those 3 days.
Sure. Well, when we were talking about, you know, drinking and shit like that, and you were like, oh, not drinking as much, and you just summed it up with, I was like, how is it? And you're like, I'm bored but healthy. I was like, I'll write that down and shit like that. Because you know, again, Dave and I, we drank in our early 20s. I didn't drink in high school at all. Mom said, don't do it, and I listened. I always listened, you know. But afterwards, I'm like, fuck you. No, something like that. But I started drinking in my 20s. But I've always felt weird about it because of a couple of reasons. My mom doesn't drink at all. My dad did. You could say he drank himself sick and eventually passed away, you know. And then that was my stepdad, and my real dad kind of drank himself into like a program house, you know. He's I might cut all this, I don't know. But like, so right off the bat, there's always been like, I felt what's the word, indifferent to alcohol. And I always felt when it was happening in our early 20s where I'm like, I don't want to do this all the time. I always felt like it was a young man's or a young person's thing. It always looked weird to see adults drunk. That's what I noticed, you know. Like, and when I say that, I mean like people in their 30s and older. It's so weird to me. It just seems like a immature thing to do. So throughout my 20s, I drank, and it wasn't until like my 30s that it started to just kind of creep in more, just for certain things. I definitely started to live more like a hermit. And I think that when you hear about that, when people live by themselves and shit like that, if you start to drink, you'll start to drink a lot, because like you're not really with anyone. You don't have to worry about anything like that. So that just eventually became that. And yeah, I don't know. It's the healthy thing though. It's the like, I have such a massive gut. I can't gain weight in my arms or my legs. So that means I could get diabetes way easier. So I'm just playing with fire like all the time, especially now that I'm older. I'm 39, and it's just like everything affects you, you know, like how you got to stretch before doing anything. You're gonna feel the effects of beer in a different way. And that's all I drink. Just beer. I don't touch hard liquors if I don't need to. And I don't fuck up when I'm drunk. I don't steal a car or get in fights and stuff like that. I probably just crack
That
jokes
you
or
remember.
And so I always felt like I had it because my siblings are kind of the opposite. They do get in trouble when they drink, but I ne never me really. So, but I think that's kind of the problem. I feel like now I just feel like I'm in control, but I'm not, because there's times when I don't want to drink and I'll have a beer in my hand. I'm like, ah, shit, It's just stuff like that. I wanted to be sober for this. Yeah, this is water, guys. You see it? This is water I've been drinking. And I got some Frappuccino, but that's all. That's all I'm
Ooh.
rocking with. Because I don't always drink when I'm on these, but I tend to because it's just fun. But I don't have to. Proven it. Ah.
N never said you did.
Yeah, lots of stuff with alcohol, but I do eventually want to fucking walk away from it because I feel like too old for that shit.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
I was never like a regular drinker, and but then like it was mainly like when I'd go out to work conferences or like stuff like that where like someone else was paying for the drinks.
Oh.
And then like I would just like forget once a year that drinking has consequences and just like, like drink myself sick. And then I would just like, like at the point in the night where it hit me like, oh, yep, that just happened. And then it's like too late to do anything about it. And like you regret it. And like, like I regretted it. I felt ashamed. And like I like I'm throwing up and stuff. And I'm like, this is like humiliating. And then like for then I could like go out again and I'd like, have a reasonable amount and still have a good time. And then like eventually I just like for whatever reason like forget like, oh yeah, like just keep throwing them back and stuff, and then it would happen again.
Oh, shit.
I had one time where for work we had to travel to Chicago, and so like I was there with like my fellow employees, and then there was some like sales representative that we were going to meet, and the sales representative is trying to make a sale, so they take you out to like a restaurant, and they buy you food and they buy you drinks, and it's like, oh, this is awesome. And then they're like, hey, we're gonna go to this bar over here. And you're like, okay, let's go. So, and you're getting like taxi rides around, like from the restaurants to the bar to the hotel. So you have to worry about driving. And there's this guy there, and he's just like, hey, you need another beer? And they're like, sure. And he's like, and they're always like, hey, try this one. And they're like, these fancy, expensive beers that I would never try myself. And I'm like, oh, this is really good. And he's like, you like that one? Yeah, I liked it too. He's like, I'll get you another one. And you're like, oh, I still have half of this one left. And then he's up at the bar getting you another one. So you're like, oh, I gotta finish it right away. I get the next one. And then before you know it, you're like, whoa, I think I've had like 10 beers and it's been like 2.5 hours. And the room is spinning. And I'm like, because normally if I'm just drinking myself, I'm just pacing myself and I'm gonna have a beer like every 30 minutes or something. And it's nothing, I'm not gonna get crazy. But yeah, in certain situations like that, it was wild because it was like, whoa, all of a sudden I realize that I'm going down a hill and I'm rolling really fast and there's no brakes on the car and you're not in control anymore. It's why moderation is key. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. Wiser words have not been spoken.
Should we move on? I
The
can't think of a
next
good
rung.
segue. Let's pour one out for I don't know. Is it me? Is it I? Let's go soft. Taxidermy. I am indifferent to taxidermy. I think first and foremost, I'm a Native American who where we dress, put the bear skin on us and we dance in the powwows and shit like that. And And then, but I also wanted to be a veterinarian when I was younger. So, I'm kind of like Ace Ventura. I'm like, this is a lovely room of death. If I'm in like a trophy room, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh my God. It's very odd. I'm trying to think back. I don't think we had any taxidermied stuff of animals, but we did have their skins. So again, it's just weird. I think it's because it's like it seems a bit disrespectful when you have like a wild animal like posed in some weird position. But I accept that in museums. But yeah, I don't understand why it's okay in certain things, but then it's unacceptable in other areas. I don't know. Yeah, what do you guys think?
I think that it's everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Because if you have like a fish on your wall and you have like a bearskin rug or something, it looks cool. But like you get two things. Like anything more than that, it's like when you have like four different deer heads on the wall, when you have like a raccoon over here, when you have like seven fish on the wall, it's just way too much and it's not cool anymore. But like if you had one thing and it was like, yeah, this is a big buck and it's the coolest thing I ever got, but I only did it one time. That's cool. I'm okay with it. But yeah, the people who they go on like a African safari and they get like a zebra or something and like no, that's I don't know. That's just a little strange.
What do you think, John?
Yeah. Well, I avoid eating any animal products or, anything like that. So, obviously I'm not gonna like have taxidermy in my house or
But do
something.
you have those decorative bowl of fruit in your house? That's the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. On the other hand, like I feel like, and they, I don't know, like that you're not really killing the animal for the taxidermy. So I'm just trying to think it through, like if you're killing it and you're eating the meat and everything, and then you're like, well, I have this as like the byproduct and a trophy or whatever, then like I guess that's less unethical in my mind. But if you were like killing an animal specifically because like that's the goal, then that seems pretty horrible. On the other hand, there used to be this billboard we would drive by going up north, and it said, I don't even remember what the picture was, but it said, "Turning dreams to reality, taxidermy.com." So I was always kind of curious what that exactly meant. What do you think about taxidermy pets?
I was gonna look that up if it's real, and I think I came across just random taxidermy stuff. Yeah, I don't like it. That's gr I would never do that to any of my pets. Just my
Yeah,
neighbor's
that's
pets.
terrifying. I don't know, that's like pet cemetery stuff. Like after my cat dies, I don't want like it over sitting by the fireplace just staring at me while I'm watching TV. Like
That's why you
creep
just
me
pick them
out.
up and or put a blanket over them or a
Put
lampshade.
him in a box. He loves
Yeah.
boxes. What
Oh.
about rogue taxidermy, where you're making like mythical creatures, like a jackalope or something?
Oh, no, that's weird too. That it just seems disrespectful. I don't know how to I it might be my upbringing, but we're supposed to, respect Mother Nature and shit like that. So that it just seems very bizarre. Like Sid in Toy Story, putting toys together.
Oh yeah. Ain't natural.
Ain't right. What about okay. Shit. We know someone. DJ Matty Nice, his dad is a taxidermist. Remember that, Dave?
I like vaguely, I guess that does sound right.
Yeah. And he seemed to be with it. He seemed like a good guy. He seems like a
Yeah. Did he do that as a
nice guy.
full-time job, or that was just kind of like a part-time hobby?
Yeah, like
Or
Like
maybe
maybe.
it's like he's retired and he kind of does it for a this, you know, income.
I think so. So I don't want to, I don't know. I feel like, when you're talking shit about clowns, they had the greatest of intentions or, a good heart, I think. I don't know. He seemed okay, anyways.
Yeah.
He brought up
I
a hell of
that
a
reminded
son.
me. Did you guys ever watch I think it came out last year or the year before, the Guillermo del Toro anthology series? It was called like The Cabinet of Curiosities or something
No.
like that. There
No.
was one with like Kate Micucci and Martin Starr. Like they're more like, you know, comic actors or whatever, like but like it was, yeah, I don't know if you haven't seen it, it's very bizarre and weird, but like one of the things is like Kate Micucci's character is big into like home taxidermy and stuff, and that features heavily into the plot of the show, which is funny.
Well, let's I feel like we're stuffed and we're ready to move. So bad. Who's next?
I guess it's me. So I'm just gonna do my indifference and then my hate back to back, because my indifference,
Whoa.
I couldn't really think of anything. And as I'm staring at the ceiling, I was thinking about things.
No way. Dude, I was gonna make a joke about it. Like, would you do look up or something like that?
That's literally what I did. I am indifferent to ceiling fans. Like, they're there. I have ceiling fans in my house, and they do not help me in any way. They circulate the air, I guess. But like, they're really pointless. I rarely ever use them. They collect dust, and they're just on my ceiling. I'm afraid to raise my hands in the living room because I might get my hand smacked by the ceiling fan.
Your wife still makes you raise your hand to be answered and called upon.
No, just like when you stand up from the couch and you want to stretch your arms in the air. So like a ceiling fan makes sense if you want to circulate air in a room if you have high ceilings. My ceilings are like 9 feet tall. That's not high enough. Like if I had like 15-foot ceilings, then yes, I would need to circulate the hot air that is up there with the cool air down here. That makes sense. Like my dad lives in a cabin. It's like an A-frame, so there's a very high roof in there. Vince, you were there once, but there was, you know, in that living room, it's a very, very high ceiling, so you had a ceiling fan up there, and it made sense. In my house with just, you know, a regular small house, it's just like these ceiling fans, they're so close to my head. They're just pointless. They collect dust. They're stupid. The end.
I love them. We have a
Oh
ceiling fan in our
shit. Oh
bedroom
shit.
because we have, you know, we run the fan all summer at night, so you can keep the house, you know, a couple degrees warmer. You don't have to spend as much cooling the whole house because you got the fan running, and you know, it's just always there. It's, you know, right there on the ceiling. I don't use the ceiling for anything else. Might as well throw a fan up there, right? In our front porch, you know, we have like a closed-in front porch, but you go out there when it's, you know, a little bit hot but not horrible, and you just open all the windows, turn on the ceiling fan. It's pretty nice in there, got to say.
Hard stance.
The I'll be sitting in my living room on my couch watching a movie, and I'm like, damn, it feels chilly in here. And then I look up and I'm like, ah, it's a damn ceiling fan. I'm like, it's not even chilly, it's a wind chill. I'm getting a wind chill from that thing.
Your house has like a feels like temperature in
Yeah. Why is there a 7 mile per hour wind
it.
blowing down at me?
I usually have it on at night when I sleep because I got tinnitus.
Ooh,
Yeah,
that sucks.
motherfucker.
Dude,
Yeah,
I don't have tinnitus, but if I turn a ceiling fan on, it feels like I have tinnitus because I just hear the sound of it. And it's like there's always like a weird little squeak or a rattle to it.
Oh.
Gotta oil that baby.
Dave, are you going to be writing your next topics in another room? I mean, this you might have to change it up a little
Oh yeah. Don't get pissed off when I'm indifferent to curtains, all right?
I
That,
love floor.
that's what I thought too. Like, I love
I
lamp.
love lamp.
I love
Yeah.
lamp.
All right. So my hate. Oh God, I just realized what my hate was. It's what I'm sitting on right now. I
Oh my
hate
gosh.
chairs and I hate seats, like a car seat or a movie theater seat that doesn't have lumbar support. I feel like 95% of all chairs and seats are not made anatomically correct where it would fit the shape of the human body. Because usually you just have a flat bottom and like a flat top that's at a different angle. But like the curve of my back, it curves in your lower spine and then it kind of rounds out over the top of your back. None of my chairs are like ergonomically correct. And this bugs me because we've been making chairs for 100 years and I feel like we should get this shit down right already. And I was thinking, like, because in my truck, I have a lumbar support cushion that I put on my lower back when I'm driving in my truck. And I was like, you know what? I was like, what are some nice vehicles? Because I drive like an old Ford. I'm like, what are some nice new vehicles? Like, let me look at a Tesla. So I looked at the inside of a Tesla. They just have these stupid straight back bucket seats. I'm like, that would hurt my back. I'm like, this is a Tesla's a nice new car. It should have a nice back. And then I looked like, well, let me go even ex more expensive. Let me look at a Lamborghini. Lamborghini seats didn't look that great. They're like, they looked super fancy and cool, but it doesn't have proper lumbar support. Like, if you're gonna spend $250,000 on a car, it better have lumbar support. Come on.
Know, where
I
are
don't
they
want
putting
to.
that R&D money? The
All right,
engine
come
or something?
on. Exactly. Like,
Dave,
what
you're
are
in
we doing
Westeros.
here?
Dave, you are in Game of Thrones, right? Westeros. So they're like, I know who the king should be. Who should sit on the Iron Throne, Dave? And you're like, no lumbar support, I'm
Yep.
outie.
It's too many pointy shards. Not for me.
If you stiff stuff Peter Dinklage in the back there, that's an it. Oh, that'll support it, well, lumbar. Okay, well, Dave, though, you are. Yeah, we've been making chairs for, what'd you say, precisely 100 years.
At least. But like,
Yeah,
I mean, like
it's
modern chairs with like
1924.
cushions in it, like recliners and lazy boys. Like, I have a lazy boy and it has no lumbar support. Like, come on.
Okay, but like I'm saying, when did this? It sounds like it just clicked. You're like, wait a minute, my back. Like, are you just getting older? And you're like,
My back clicked. Yeah.
But well, now you got some walking around money you could, or sitting around money, go buy some awesome chairs, man.
But I'm saying
After
you even if you get really expensive chairs, you can get ones that are like $400 or $500 and they don't even have like proper support. Like they like half-ass it where they're like, oh yeah, there's like a little bit of a cushion there. Like, I don't know. I want like, you remember the sneakers in the 90s with the Nike air pump or whatever, where you push the little thing and you squeeze it and it fills up with air. Like, why don't I have that for like my chair to customize it and make it comfy for me? But I don't know. It probably cost me $2,000. Too much.
Yeah, shit.
Get a standing desk. Sitting is the new smoking.
Isn't
I
that a book?
think you're right. I saw somebody at my work, they have like a yoga ball chair. So they have like proper posture when they're sitting. And I was like, that's interesting. Maybe I need one.
Yoga ball. Oh my gosh.
When I started working at the office where I'm at now, we have the adjustable desks, and I moved it to the standing position and unplugged it and gave away my chair. Never looked back.
That's awesome.
It's noble.
How are your feet doing? Are they happy?
Oh yeah, they're
Well,
very happy.
I mean, that's a that's a new thing though about like, oh, sitting is the new smoking. Like that's a book, right, John? Or no?
I don't know, probably. It's definitely a phrase that I did not make up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are sitting a lot, so that's not good for you. I mean, I believe it. I believe that's not good for you after a while, hours upon hours. But you know what? Let's get up and do another topic. Oh my
All
God.
right.
I feel like I have no support. Moving support. Is it me then?
Are we sneaking back?
Oh gosh. Yeah. All right. We got to talk about some badness. My hate. I hate Colby Covington of the UFC. A lot. I wrote a lot of stuff down, but I'm gonna try and just sum it up as, you know, in the UFC, Dana White loves his KO people, his the guys that can knock people out. He promotes them way more. What he and so do the fans. Fans like that. But for the most part, Colby Covington, you know, so he wasn't a knockout dude. He was a wrestler slash. I want to say his what he does is smother you. He presses you against the cage. Maybe hits you, but they're not trying to knock you out. They're just points, you know? And he just is able to do that to anyone he wants, right? And it's not very exciting, but you do appreciate that he's able to do that to kickboxers, other wrestlers, you know, stuff like that. So the legend is, and I think Dave didn't believe him, but he heard that after he was going to fight Damian Maia in Brazil, the number whatever ranked person, that they were going to cut him. They were like, we don't, you're not exciting, you know? So he decides to change it up and turn heel, a wrestler's phrase for turning bad, right? Get the crowd to hate you. And that's the whole point. So when he beat Damian Maia in Brazil, he's like, this place is a dump, Brazil. You're all a bunch of filthy animals and shit like that. And he just started to just talk shit about people. Very inconsiderate stuff, you know, he's just trolling people. It's nothing new, but it's been rewarded with Conor McGregor, you know. So then he starts wearing the fucking Make America Great Again hat just because it's you know, it gets under people's skin. He's not really a MAGA person, as his friend Jorge Masvidal is like, he doesn't know anything about Donald Trump's politics or anything like that. He just knows if you wear that hat, people are gonna be like, hey, you know, shit like that. It's a complete character, and you could tell because this is one of the worst things in my mind. He fumbles his lines. He messes up a lot. They're so cringy, you know. All of it sounds so rehearsed. Like he stayed up all night trying to come up with this diss to someone, and they're not even that great. The asshole in me is fine with him turning troll, right? Because it's really obvious it's just a character, but he's not good at it, you know? And it's just building upon building of like people getting upset about what he's saying, and he's sit and it's he's so it's so obviously a character of his, but he's still doing it. So after years of doing this, he's fought for the title 3 times now. He's also lost a lot of friends. He got kicked out of his old gym and stuff, and he would never apologize. He would just say, oh, because they're losers and they hate me because I'm amazing and blah blah blah. So it's just a lot of cringy shit. People even calling him out on it. It's like, dude, stop. Like, just can you just give us something real? He's like, no, you're a fucking virgin and a pussy or something. You know what I mean? Never breaking character. Even though the character is so wobbly, his performance is so shaky, it's crazy. But yeah, that's all I have written down for now. I'm curious if John did any research at all. I know Dave knows him.
No, I did not. But
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So he's UFC, you said, right?
Yes.
Does UFC do a lot of, what is it, kayfabe or whatever, like characters and that stuff?
No, no.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like it was, you know, like obviously everyone has what their public persona is, but I didn't think it was like professional wrestling kind of stuff.
Right.
So yeah, that just makes it then all the worse because he's like doing this thing in like a sport where that's not a thing that people do. It seems really obnoxious.
Oh yes. Dave, what do you got to
Yeah,
say?
it's yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. Because it seems like Colby Covington was like a fan of pro wrestling, because like even his entrance music is a pro wrestler's theme music, as Kurt Angle's music. And like famously, when that music would play in wrestling, the crowd would always chant, "You suck." So it would prompt the crowd to yell, "You suck," at Colby Covington, making people hate him. And it seems like he was a fan of pro wrestling and he thought that this would be a good idea. And like, and I don't even hate the idea of trying to play a bad guy as a UFC fighter and even kind of faking it. I'm okay with you trying to do that, but you have to be good at it. And he's really bad at it. Like you said, he always fumbles and stutters over his lines. He's not even like coherent with like what he's trying to say a lot of times, where everything he's saying is kind of sporadic and random. It's like, I swear, it seems like he just reads junk on the internet and repeats it for like insults. Because like they'll do a press conference and they're all standing there or sitting there and they got a microphone and you're supposed to be talking smack back and forth with the other person. But like he'll just say like another insult to the person and they'll respond back with like something, and he'll just say something that's not even related to what they just said, and it's just like another insult. And it's like you're not even like listening, and like you have to have some kind of what do you call it? Improv, to be good in those kind of situations. But he can't improvise like any smack talk. Like he has to rehearse it. So I think like a kind of a similar guy is the former middleweight champion Sean Strickland, which he talks a lot of smack, but he's actually good at it. Like he can talk really well. He's kind of, some people like him, some people hate him. But he seems more genuine about who he is, and he's not trying to overly fake it, and he says entertaining stuff, I think. But yeah, but there's people who like him and dislike him, but at least what he's doing, he's good at it, where Colby is not good at it. And another thing I want to say is Colby, in his last title fight, or at least attempt to win a title against Leon Edwards, it was one of the worst title fights I've ever seen. Like trying to win a belt, he's out there as a challenger. You're supposed to try your ass off to try and win a title. But like he barely tried in that fight. He looked terrible. He barely like would throw punches. He would just go out there and just try not to get beat up. And it was such a poor performance. And then after the fight, he immediately was like, "Yeah, I thought I won that 3 rounds to 2. I thought I did great. I was shocked that I lost the decision on the judges' scorecard." It was like, dude, you looked horrible. Like, no person could ever look at that and think it was an okay attempt at a title. Like, he should feel ashamed of that performance. But, like, he can never be real about what just happened.
Right. And if I mean, again, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a character. But yet he said a lot of shitty things, like how, what was it? Matt Hughes is a fighter that got paralyzed or some shit, like forever changed by this railroad. He got struck by a train. And Colby would just be like, there's no stopping me. I'm like a truck. And if you're on the tracks, you're gonna get hit by like Matt Hughes or something like that. And everyone's like, what the fuck? Like he could barely function anymore as an adult or as a human, and you're just randomly throwing him into the insult. He's nowhere near here. He also insulted Leon Edwards' dad, who apparently got murdered and shit like that. He insulted Jorge Masvidal. He mentioned his kids a bunch, and Jorge eventually just attacked him in public, you know. And those guys were best friends. It's just like, well, what is real anymore? Because he won't drop that character, you know. Like when he got his jaw broke by Usman in that first title fight, He didn't drop the character. He should have right then, in my opinion, because it just, oh God, it just sucks. I just feel confused, and because I'm like, I feel bad for him, but then not. He chose to turn and troll everyone, and he just won't stop. It's bizarre.
Yeah, like is if you're a pro wrestler and you're doing something that's not getting the desired reaction, you need to change it and evolve it, you know. But I don't know, he can't. I don't know. His character is just bad. He's just insults people. He comes off as a trash person because at this point he's kind of just because he I think he started it off as kind of a gimmick, but now he's just become that person. And he's not good enough as a person or as a performer to kind of change his ways. He's just kind of a shithead, and he's just become that person. Sucks. He
Damn
sucks.
shame. Damn shame. Yeah. Well, should we change character and turn our heels towards the new topic?
Yes, we should. All right, I hate pennies, those little round copper things. They're a drain on the economy. They're a drain on my pockets. They are just obnoxious. There'd have to be like, I don't know, 15 of them before it'd be worth bending over to pick them up off the ground. For every one penny that the US Mint forges or mints or whatever, it costs 2.1 cents worth of like raw materials. Yeah, like raw copper is worth more than like a a penny size piece of raw copper is worth 2.1 cents basically. So like it's just like a net loss on our government to be creating them anymore. You can just like, if we stopped using them, round to the nearest 5 cents, and sometimes you'll pay a couple extra cents, sometimes you'll pay a couple less, and it all average out. Like, we just don't need them. They're annoying. That's all I got to say.
You hate them so much that you, if you ever find any, you put them on the railroad track. I mean, good points about like, yeah, it's not worth creating them. What a weird world. No more pennies. What about Abraham Lincoln, John? He died
Still
for
got the
your
$5
freedom.
bill.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
That's true. Yeah, he's got the $5 bill. He's not gonna care. He's probably what he's most proud of anyway, is the $5 bill,
I
Who cares about the pennies?
mean, we already got rid of the hay penny. And
Whoa.
I think I read it that it was worth like 15 cents of today's money when we decided to get rid of it. So, if we were using that as a standard, we should be getting rid of the penny, the nickel, and the dime right now.
I'd be
Gosh.
okay with that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, money is dirty. That's a main thing that popped in my head as soon as the pandemic or whatever. I was like, germs. Money is fucking gross. Yeah.
That's also true.
So we
Yeah,
could
so like
go ahead, Jay.
like with like inflation, like pennies made sense 100 years ago, but like a penny is not worth anything now, 100 years later, so we should get rid of it. But even though I think we should get rid of pennies and probably nickels and dimes as well, I'm not a fan of like all currencies like going digital and stuff like that. I think we should still have cash because I have like a fear of everything going digital, with all your currency, because then, if the power goes out, then nobody has anything, which is kind of scary.
That's Y2K rearing its ugly head again.
Yeah, it just takes one computer virus or something like that, and then Skynet will take over, and then all our bank accounts just say zeros, and then, the chaos ensues.
Yeah, I
But
wonder, like, of all like the money that everyone owns, like in the country or in the world, like how much of that could be represented by like bills and coins? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think I saw some. I think that statistic is out there, because like the majority of people's wealth, like Elon Musk, all of his wealth, it's only in numbers stored on computers, like the actual cash value of stuff. Like, I think it's like some crazy thing. Like, it's only like 1% or maybe less than 1% of the like physical cash. Exists compared to like 99 or more percent is all digital.
we're not going to be able to give someone a penny for their thoughts. We need that. I'm trying to think, like, if we took the pennies out of the world, what would be, I'm just thinking of sayings and phrases and stuff. That's the only thing I could think of. Penny for your thoughts.
Well, people shove in their mouth to try and pass a breathalyzer.
That's right. Nothing. I can't think of anything. I can't think of a damn thing.
Isn't there like a lucky penny too?
Penny face up, or
Yeah, I think so.
I thought it
See a
was any
penny,
coin.
pick it up, and all day you'll have good luck.
Oh shit. A
Penny
penny.
saved is a penny earned.
Yes.
That's bullshit. I think
All
the
right,
only thing I
well,
like about pennies is those machines that you go to where you put in like 50 cents or a dollar and then one shiny penny and you pick like one of the three different icons. Like they have them like if you go to the museum or the zoo
crank
or
that
something.
thing.
Yeah, and you crank it and then it squashes it and puts the little like logo on there. That's the coolest thing that you can do with a penny is just squish it and make it into something else.
Penny
That
Lane,
is
we
true.
wouldn't have that classic song. Pennywise, we wouldn't all be scared of clowns anymore. We would walk up to them and hug them and thank them. Oh.
James Bond wouldn't have Money Penny.
Inspector Gadget wouldn't have his niece. On, Dave. You gotta have
Charlie wouldn't
something.
be able to tell Desmond not Penny's boat. Wouldn't be able to watch that Netflix show, Penny Dreadful.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, you know
Wouldn't be able
what?
to pinch your pennies.
Nothing coming up. Well, should we change what we're doing and shut the show down? So like, subscribe, comment. This was A Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemeth,
David Lauer.